I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good afternoon to you and yours. It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, along with Chris Neen and Ben Poorman across the way. Slide and slides, pushing buttons for us, taking care of us as he does on the program. Get your thoughts in on the Visual Edge IT hotline at 806-771-0973. You can also post on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com or the 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you download for free wherever your apps are downloadable. From Ayo Sneeder.
Sup?
How are you, man?
Just got up.
Dude, it's like noon. Mm-hmm. You just got up.
Mm-hmm. About 10:30.
Are you trying for me to not be happy with you?
I'm sorry, man.
Because that's
I got to sleep in today.
That's a brag.
I got to sleep in today. I got to sleep in today, which is
normally you're up at this day in sports history time.
More earlier than that.
No, but you're normally up, like, moving at that point
and
have commented.
I'm usually working out during that. My goal is to not be on the Peloton during this day in sports history. I don't know why.
It's a good goal. That means you're done with the Peloton by 6:45.
Well, I don't always achieve that.
That's okay. You don't have to always achieve your goals, but that having a goal is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday was opening day, Chris. And it was a great day for opening day because opening day is always a great day for baseball. It's the first day of the season. Rangers won. That made it better. Astros lost. Depending on which fan base you're on, it made it even better or made it worse, as the case
may
be.
Can you take me higher?
Oh, wow. They were back.
However,
yeah.
When things like this happen, I find something new about baseball that I might love a little bit more. Didn't think I was going to find this out today when I came into work. Didn't think this was a thing, but now that I know it's a thing, it's one of my favorites. Have you seen the Oakland Athletics? You haven't, and nor has anybody else.
No.
They had 13,000 people at their inside the stadium for their first game, their first home game of the year. They have yet to score a run in Major League Baseball this year. Not a shock. Oakland A's not a good baseball team. However, my friend, have you seen the new reverse protest that the fans are doing?
No. What are they doing?
So instead of buying the ticket and going in the game and, you know, just cheering for the other team, or going into the game and just basically yelling at the owner the whole time and giving the owner money while you're at the game, showing that there's support for the fan base, they're basically doing a tailgate for the entire game on the premises with blow-up screens to show the game so people can watch. But they're demonstrating outside on the property against the owners instead of going into the game. It's a way to show fan support of baseball fans in Oakland, and also getting all the attention on them instead of on the game, because they're the ones outside of the stadium.
How many were outside the stadium?
Let's see. There were 13,000 in the stadium. I don't have a number for outside, but
if it's
not
13,000, then it's insignificant.
Oh, I'm guessing it was around, it was more than 13,000, because it was a huge block party.
Well, good. They plan to do that every game?
I don't know that they're doing this every game, but I fully support them in this endeavor and almost want to go join them for an Oakland A's game. Like, this is the kind of protest I can get behind. Because it's baseball fans saying that it's not that we don't like baseball. It's not that we don't love our team. We hate you. A very specific you. And they're waving green flags, green and gold, waving fans to say sell.
So the parking is off the charts this year.
Yes.
So they're paying for parking.
Paying for parking.
Ticket
and
sales,
I don't imagine
ticket sales down, parking sales up.
Right.
Okay.
There
that's kind of cool. It would be neat if the 13,000 inside would just say the same. Now we're going to do join in.
The two big groups of the A's fan base, the Oakland 68s and another group, are part of this endeavor for the outside entertainment. Free tacos were distributed for everybody outside. So, you know, hey, I'm always in for a free taco. Mm. And
I'm a big fan of the taco.
The longest line for all the booths that were out there was not for the free tacos. It was for a PAC group that is trying to make sure
political
that they
action committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
That it's trying to make sure that they don't build the A's a new stadium and build schools instead. And there was a line wrapped around the stadium for people picking up information and donating to make sure that the A's don't get a new stadium built for the 3 years before the one in Vegas is built.
So they want to make sure they played in the cesspool that is.
No, Alameda, they want to make sure that the money that they spend stays in Oakland as opposed to benefits someplace that's already moving to Vegas. Like they're trying to do schools and stuff.
Good. That's good.
See?
That stadium is a cesspool.
It is. And it's been a cesspool for quite some time. This is not this is not breaking any news.
Yeah, I've called one game in that place, and it was an Oakland Raiders preseason game. And let's say this, the black hole, when you get down by the black hole, I know it's not A's baseball, but the smell of weed out of that section was palpable.
I can imagine that.
It was flowing.
But, yeah, I'm a huge fan of this. Like, I was even a fan last year of them, you know, choosing a day to go show that Oakland has baseball fans. We just hate the owners, so we don't want to give them money.
Yeah.
And they had, like, 3/4 of a sellout for, like, a Wednesday game or whatever it was. A game you wouldn't sell out on a normal situation, but they are showing that the fans do care.
They need to play in front of a couple of 100 or 200 fan games. And that's what they really, really need to take notice and have the fans all be outside. Not 30, because you can make 13,000 look. I mean, it's a 50,000 seat stadium. You can get 13,000 in one section and make it look decent. But you have 100 or 200 fans in there. That'll look ghost townish. They're all out in the party, having a party in the parking lot.
There was one specific fan that bucked the trend of joining the outside festivities and actually went into the ballgame. Right field Will, who apparently is one of the A's famous fans, attended the parking lot party pregame, but then went and sat in his normal seat because the longtime A's favorite Guardians manager Stephen Vaught had texted him and said that he hoped to see him at the game because apparently, you know, being a famous quote-unquote fan, you get to meet some of the players and people that were involved in the, organization. Mm-hmm. And he said, he texted me and was hoping I could be there for his debut. It's the only reason I'm going in, to be there for him. Again, this is the kind of protest I love.
This is a great protest.
Love this protest. Yeah. Like, I almost want them to make their own jersey so I can buy that jersey.
Oh.
And support those guys.
Merch.
I'm just saying. This is cool. Good luck, Oakland A's fans. Stick it to the man.
I'm all about sticking it to the man.
Coming up, something that got stuck to the Red Raiders. And that was not a fun game last night. Didn't end that way. We'll discuss it next for the Red Raider baseball team and UCF on the way, on the bottom line. 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling through your lunch hour on the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for choice, sitting alongside Chris and Ben across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us. He's the first voice you hear when you call the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Three. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Texas Tech baseball. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. Jamie's talked about it. Gus has talked about it. Everybody on this station has talked about it, that the Achilles heel for this team, not making the simple play.
No, not making the routine play.
It's okay, not the simple play.
I mean, baseball is a game about routines, and successful teams make routine plays routinely. And you know, last night you drop another double play ball. I mean, leads to unearned runs.
Extends innings. Keeps the guy out there longer than he has to be.
Yeah. I'm listening to the game, so I don't have an idea. Well, I'm not watching it, so I don't have an idea what the strike zone was like. Maybe there's a lot of grumbling.
Minuscule would be the way to describe it. But
I mean, if it's a small zone, adjust to it.
And I mean, for the most part,
remember,
it just took a little bit.
The other team is playing with the same small strike zone.
And they were.
And I mean, you get five walks. You walk five last night. One of them is intentional. And then you plunk a dude. Plunk dude, two dudes, actually, so.
Yeah, one of them hurt more than the others.
Well, I mean, the first run of the game was walked in. And then the last run of the game was
was hit in.
Hit in.
But not so, hit, but hit in. Yeah. It's the continuation of what we've seen from this team, unfortunately, all season. When they're playing it cleanly, they're blowing teams out. When you struggle to do that, you put yourself in a situation where you have a lead going into the ninth and then lose it in the ninth. Or you have a lead going in the eighth and lose it, and then you're stressing to get the top of the ninth taken care of. It is very un-Tadlock-like to have a team playing like this. And I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix it.
This team, well, I mean, it's...
Other than some more experience. But you're starting to run out of...
You are a young team. I mean, Pompey wasn't in last night. That's a true freshman. You had Travis Sanders in there. It's a redshirt freshman. Or is he a sophomore? Whichever one. Just not making routine plays routinely. You know, so you got to be able to just make those plays consistently and routinely. If you give extra outs to teams, they'll take advantage of it. It always seems like you extend an inning and the next guy hits a bases clearing double or gets the clutch base hit. And there's a lot of folks that want to, you know, oh, it's pitching, coach, whatever. No, it's this fielding and hitting right now. This team is not hitting the ball. This team is not fielding the ball. I would say of all the things that are wrong with this team right now, pitching is probably third on the list of the three things that I think are the major issues.
No, but the pitching, you don't have good enough pitching to bail you out of your
You pitched
problems.
Well enough to win last night.
You did. You pitched well enough to win.
You pitched well enough to win. I mean, pitcher didn't get picked off in the top of the ninth.
True story.
You know, pitcher didn't kick a double play ball. Pitcher didn't leave it.
Pitcher didn't have an indecision about throwing you to third on an out.
Exactly.
You didn't get anybody out.
Pitcher didn't leave 12 men on base.
This thought off the 8th Scoring Center chat line. Maybe we are just not very good.
I said this a week ago, and I posted this on my thoughts.
Were you on a message board?
I was.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't post very often on a message board, but when I post, I usually have something to say. And it was a week ago, and I said I've got serious concerns about this team. And of the concerns I posted, pitching was the least of them. I mean, because there's, you know, you got message board geniuses out there that want to find a pitching coach. A pitching coach. No, you know what's terrible right now? Your defense. Your defense was 960 in conference play, and it's going down, by the way. So you got a lot of problems that this team, and I, you are You are no longer wading into you are what you are territory. You are what you are right now, which is a middling conference hitting. I mean, team that's hitting going into this weekend was hitting 233 in conference. And, I mean, you pounded out, 13 hits last night. She only scratched in 4 runs.
Runners in scoring position, not the strength of the offense.
Yeah, at one point, Jamie mentioned that they're 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. I assume they finished 1-for-10 because Gage Harrelson was in and he got caught in no man's land on a comebacker to the pitcher. And, I mean, like I said, I was listening on the radio, so I couldn't see how far off the bag he was. So it sounded like he was trying to be aggressive and got caught flat-footed and expected the ball to get through. And he probably is making a nice, good base-running decision if the ball gets over the pitcher's head, which it didn't. Right. Pitcher snags it, turns around. He's somewhere halfway between second and third. Pitcher runs at him. I can imagine this in my head. Pitcher runs right at him, and he's going to be dead meat. Not much you can do about that, except don't get caught off the bag.
Don't get caught off the bag. This off the Eastern Center chat line. True, but pitcher did hit a batter with bases loaded and 2 outs to lose. If your defense is making plays beforehand, you don't get in that situation.
I agree with you.
But again, one batter, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's also why you got the loss.
Hey, I get it, everybody. We don't like Matt Gardner. I get it. Matt Gardner didn't get picked off last night. Matt Gardner didn't leave 12 men on.
Didn't leave a small village on the field.
I get it. There's people that are just like, we're going to fire Matt Gardner. Everything will be good. Okay.
Pitchers put 12 men on base yesterday.
Okay. I get it. Once again, I get it. You all hate Matt Gardner. I get it.
I think they're just looking at pitching being a problem.
No. We've had the same pitching. We had a bad pitching staff that took us to Omaha one year. A bad pitching staff. 2014, that was not a good pitching staff.
No.
That was not a good pitching staff.
2014 also, and as great as that team turned out to be, there's a lot of that team that got right at the exact right time at the end of the year. There's a lot of things that fell your way, 2014.
Yeah, the number one thing that fell your way was a 4 seed went to Florida and knocked off a 1 seed.
Yes.
And so you got to host a super regional.
Against that 4 seed.
Yeah.
Like, and then you won both of those 2 games 1-0.
Yeah.
And went to Omaha. And it was great. And there's a lot of great guys on that team. And that 1 year that you went to Omaha got you a bunch of recruits mm-hmm. that you were able to go to Omaha with again.
Mm-hmm.
You would not have gotten Davis Martin had you not made that trip to Omaha.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And he's not the only guy on that roster that you got on your second trip that would have loved to come to Tech, but their goal was to go to Omaha, and Tech had never been.
I think that Josh Young was a direct result of that. Captain Lake ready? Yes.
Sure. No. I don't know that. He was a direct result of
that. We were recruiting him, but I think that probably didn't hurt.
No.
The fact that you went to Omaha.
The trip to Omaha never hurts.
No.
There's no such thing as a bad trip to Omaha.
No. I mean, yeah, it's like all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that pitching is perfect and everything is hunky-dory. I'm pointing out a major fact right now that you're fielding sub 960 as a defense, and your conference splits are in the mid-230s as a batting average for your team. Those are your big issues. Yes, your team ERA is in the 5s, but most of the time your bats and your defense are able to cover up the poor pitching. Poor pitching has been a problem for a while. Your bats and your defense are now just exposing it.
Did the NCAA adopt the fielder blocking the base rule that Major League Baseball did?
Fielder blocking the base rule. You talking about the lane to the plate?
I'm reading you can't, what they got there. I've given you all the information I have.
If it's about the catcher blocking the plate without the ball, Major League Baseball adopted college's rule, actually, which basically states that you can't block the plate without possession of the ball. You can block the plate, but you have to have the ball, or you're about to catch the ball, or the throw takes you into the path of the runner. But you have to provide a lane to the plate or to the bag for the runner.
We've got one more thought for Red Raider Baseball off the 8th Loring Center chat line that we'll get to after we get back. And also, take a look at the Texas Rangers picking up win number one on the year and sitting atop of the AL West. Not a bad place to be after opening day. It's the bottom line. 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice alongside with Chris and Ben here on The Bottom Line. Going back to our asking about the blocking the plate, although it was just a base, the fielder blocking. It's a fielder deal. Saw a guy get called safe at second base because the fielder was in the lane.
Didn't provide him a lane to the bag.
So that's not just home. It's at all positions.
You can't block a bag without the ball. That's obstruction.
Now, once you have the ball,
yeah, different absolutely. Rules apply. If you're making a play or a play about to be made.
Okay,
that part is in the judgment of the umpire.
So I'm gonna. This is a longer post. I'm gonna read the whole thing, and then we'll react to it.
I'll listen to the whole thing and then react to it.
Lots of wrong, but ultimately, if our pitching was better, these things would work themselves out. I don't hate Gardner and don't know what a better option would be, but I do know our pitching has been bad the past three seasons, and if changes aren't made, we'll be stuck in this situation. When it comes to beginnings in better pitchers, what top prospects want to come here when you look at our recent pitching performances? Okay, so what pitchers want to come here? Well, pitchers that want to win, because you've got a winning program. Pitchers that want to compete in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Pitchers that want to work with a coaching staff that goes out of their way to put you in the best position possible for the future.
Yeah.
You are never going to have a Tim Tadlock-coached pitcher blow out his arm to try to win a game.
That's absolutely true. I mean, they have a reputation for being overly cautious with people, taking care of arms, not overthrowing them. There's plenty of guys that down the state in Austin not just with this pitching coach, head coach, even the previous one, overthrowing guys and
ruining careers.
Ruining careers, yeah.
And that's not going to happen with Tim Tadlock or his staff. Like, all evidence suggests that that's how that works. If there's even a hint of if this guy were to pitch 50 pitches that he could be injured, he doesn't throw 10. Like, it's that much of a drastic flip when it comes to recruiting guys. The other thing that you get, depending on which level of recruiting that you're looking at, you can come here and play in front of sold-out crowds at Downlaw Field and Rick Griffin Park to an excited fan base in a competitive conference with good umpiring and good facilities. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to the minor leagues if you are drafted high enough and want to go in that direction and play in backwater Nowhereville in front of 55 people on a field that doesn't look like it's been taken care of.
Yeah. I mean whether you like it or not, I mean – Major League Baseball opening day happened yesterday, and there were two former Tech pitchers on Major League roster. Well, one okay,
one, two, two under two, this
two
staff.
That Matt Gardner coached in college that are on Major League rosters. I guess they just got there on their own. I mean, Daniel Coulomb was a Dan Spencer dude.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, didn't pee a drop while he was here, but I mean, he got. He was he's pretty good while he got out of here and he got better. Mashinsky was pretty good here.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, Clayton Beter got here hurt, came back, and it had COVID not happened, was probably gonna be. I mean, he was
one of your key cogs in Omaha.
Yeah, he was dominant, and was having a very good year.
And this isn't, and when we say the COVID year in Omaha, this isn't like the Red Raider basketball team, because that was the number two team in the country and they were blowing people away.
Yeah.
There are three major leaguers right now on that roster.
Yeah.
Was Parker on that team in 2019?
I believe so.
I'm sorry, 2020. I think Parker. So you got three major league players that are active.
Yeah.
And then another three in the pipeline.
Yeah.
That are active, almost active.
Yeah.
That were on that roster. That, as Tom Stone likes to say, the only guy I won't have this conversation with that 2020 was a complete blank is Tim Tadlock, because he's the only guy that's got more argument about it than I do.
Yeah. I mean, to go back to the texter, you know, yeah, you got a lot of, there's a lot of correct things in there. And I'm not going to disagree with you that the pitching staff hasn't performed the way that, you know, but Matt Gardner, all he can do is coach them.
Mm-hmm.
He can't pitch for them. You know, he can talk to them. He can talk to them. He can instruct them. You know, it's not as if he goes out there with bad advice. And I mean, Ray Hayward, who everyone says, why do we get Ray Hayward back? Ray Hayward is probably in a better position because as a special advisor or assistant to the team, he can sit up in the stands and watch
from a completely different
viewpoint. And if you don't think he's relaying information that he sees, be it handwritten or whatever, maybe just walking over to the dugout and telling, I promise you he and Matt Gardner are in consult. And they're talking about what he's seeing from the stands. And that information is being relayed. And Ray Hayward is interacting. I mean, he's a special assistant. He's a member of the team, so he can interact with players. He can't coach, but he can interact. You don't have to coach to tell a kid what, you know, something he's doing wrong mechanically. You don't have to coach to tell a kid to calm down or however, do something that will help him in the mound, in preparation, in post game or whatever. So this idea that Ray Hayward is not the pitching coach and not around and not an influence on this team is incorrect, because he has a lot of influence. He's still around and he is still a major part of this program.
This thought from Marquise off the Yates Learning Center chat line. Mm-hmm. You've had an extreme run of bad luck and maybe missed on some guys. Hopefully it'll turn.
I agree with that more than anything else. More than anything. I mean, Tabor Fast is a guy that we thought was going to be this is the guy that came here as a two-way player. We thought, hey, outfielder, pitcher. And, you know, he at one point they started leaning him more towards outfield, and at one point started leaning more towards pitcher. Just, you know, one of the things that we also had Zane Petty. You know, Petty is a guy that we thought, you know, coming out of, had a great summer, had a great fall, got into the season, and just hasn't been the same guy. Now, does he have something nicked up somewhere? You know, a small injury to a pitcher, be it, you know, wrist, arm, elbow, shoulder, a small injury can change the way you do things and can change a whole lot about your delivery, your cadence, everything that you do, your stride, your gait, everything. You know, Jack Washburn, if you listened to the pregame interview last night, he talked about his injury. He had a small injury that he pitched with for a long time, and he started to compensate for it, and it cost him. And, you know, if a kid doesn't tell you that something's going on, no one's going to know because Stephen Gingrey, when he blew his UCL, guy pitched two and a half. You know, he pitched two innings before he said, you know, this my elbow feels kind of weird here. You know, and he said it actually felt weird in warm up. And then he went out there and he pitched two innings and was dominant, by the way, for two innings. And then all of a sudden he threw that first pitch. And he says, oh, this really doesn't feel good.
This
anymore.
Doesn't feel good anymore.
You know, and so
it was immediate.
Yeah, but I mean,
you got to let somebody know.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys out there that are former pitchers, that you guys know this. I mean, it's just the way the game goes sometimes. And, you know, I agree with our texture. You got a run of bad luck. and some guys just didn't work out the way you thought they would. And, you know, hey, maybe a guy's dominant in summer ball, and he gets there and he sees other guys that are better players in college. You know, maybe a guy's dominant in fall practice because he knows how to get his own players out. You know, and that's – and sometimes you go out, you put a different uniform on, and they play for somebody else, and you can't get those guys out because they're not your own players anymore.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
We've got an owl bracket to get to.
Yeah,
we'll do that next.
We can do that.
Kaylee's Daily's on the way. 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the last Friday in March. The Owl Off is in full swing here on The Bottom Line. On 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, sitting alongside Chris Need. Crossaway, Ben Portman, Slide and Slides, taking care of us as he does on the program. It's now time for Kaylee's Dailies.
Yes, Ben. Hefe.
See.
All right, it's time again for Kaylee's Dailies, brought to you always this time by, of course, me.
Yes.
Suck it, Chuck. Kaylee says, we are in the starting the second round of the matchups, and we have a small discrepancy because we had a matchup yesterday between the 8-9,
uh-huh,
the Western Screech, and the Northern Sawit.
Right.
We don't have a winner. We need a winner.
We do not have a winner?
We do not have a winner yet.
How do we not have a winner?
It's gone to the video review. All right. Today, you do start the second round of matchups with the Owl Off. That brings us to a showdown between the 12th-seeded Elf Owl and the 4th-seeded Short Ear Owl. And if you can recap, the Elf Owl defeated the long-eared Owl with a mobbing move to the second round.
Okay. The Elf Owl versus who's the other one?
The 4th-seeded short-eared owl.
Short?
Yeah.
Eared.
So owl. The 5th-seeded short-eared owls are typically 14 and a half to 15 inches long, and they're often found in most regions of Texas, except the western tip, just the tip, which contains the desert region. And this includes Midland, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Corpus Christi, that area. Short-eared owls use their 43-inch wingspan to control their flight and allow them to grab prey with their talons while being upright.
I would go with the short-eared owl.
These owls are also known for tearing the wings off smaller owls and other small birds before consuming them.
Would you consider the elf owl a small owl?
I would think that elf owl is a small. Yes. Yeah,
I do not feel like this is a.
This looks easy bad for the elf owl.
Yes.
Also, a reminder that March is International Women's Month. Do we have any female owls here?
Well, we've got some of the people on the magic staff and Connie.
No, female owls.
Oh, female. I'm sure there's female owls involved in this.
Shelby, the other kid.
Kaylee.
Kaylee says, since we won't have another show for the rest of the month, take this as a challenge to honor amazing women that you have in your life today. Like Kaylee.
And Shelby. And both. Everybody.
And Cassidy.
And your lovely bride.
And Hallie Ray and JoJo.
And the list goes on.
And the wife, yes. JoJo is, we changed her nickname from Nugget to Honey Badger.
Because she doesn't care?
She doesn't give a blank. She doesn't give a blank. So she says she thanks amazing women influenced her life, including her mom, sisters, and her grandmothers. There you go. All right, so we will find out on Monday the winner of this 4-12 matchup and the 8-9 matchup from last week.
Okay.
So we have two matchups to find. Kaylee, if you're listening, I know you are, find that out. Off the Sneed line here, a couple of thoughts from the Sneed line.
Okay.
We get this, says, fact, baseball is far too hard for the modern college sports fan to deal with.
It is hard.
Yeah.
And to quote League of Their Own, the hard is what makes it good.
Yeah.
If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah. And I get this from Dexter off the Snead line. Dexter, of course, the guy playing me in the movie. Dexter says, I guess Jared Washburn is okay with Matt Gardner.
This thought off the Yates Lawrence Center chat line. Molina was lied to by Arkansas. And
yeah, he was.
Stole him, and he would have been our ace this year from Dan in Dallas.
That is a fact. And people like to bring up Micah Dallas. Micah Dallas wanted to be a starter, and Schlossnagel basically
said he'd be a starter.
Said he'd be a starter. We wanted him to be a closer, and he was a pretty good closer for us, and long relief guy. He wanted to be a starter, and so they bring those two things up.
How do Owls feel about reseeding in the tournament after the first round? Off the 8th Sporting Center chat line.
I don't know.
From Tyler.
I don't know the answer to that because I'm not making the bracket. This is a...
We are just reporting the bracket. We are not in charge of the bracket.
I'm Jim Nantz. Hello, friends. Maybe I'm more Clark Kellogg. You might be Jim Nantz over there.
I am not cool enough to be Jim Nantz.
Hello, friends.
This off the 8th Sporting Center chat line from Marquise. Confidence is huge. I see it a lot in youth sports. Do you think confidence is an issue for this Red Raider baseball team?
I think it's not confidence. I'm missing leadership.
Ooh, the L word.
Yeah, and it's not from I don't think there's leaders on this team. I think that the problem is the guys who are leaders are not big vocal leaders. They're you don't have the big Jace Young, big vocal leader. Yes, he was a big vocal leader on that
Jace.
Team. Jace.
Okay.
Josh Young was not a big vocal leader. Josh Young was a, hey guys, I'm not going to go, well, we're going to run over this hill and we're going to do it. He's just going to go run over that hill and everyone's going to follow him because right. He's a certified bad A. Okay? And I don't know that there's a guy on this team right now that everyone's just looking to and going, okay, that's the man. I'm going to do what the man does. Who is that guy right now? I think that guy is Bazell. But Bazell has been gone for so long, he's going to have to reassert himself into that lineup as that guy. But well, he's not a big vocal guy.
No, and the other side of that is when everybody's struggling, everybody is struggling. It's not a you haven't had just one guy go out and like take last night away with Bazell's 5-for-5.
Nope, it was Damian Bravo's 5-for-5.
I'm sorry, Bravo's 5-for-5.
Went 3-for-4 with a homer.
Bravo's 5-for-5. Take that away. You haven't had those type of performances, and I know 5-for-5 mm-hmm. is hard, but you haven't had just some guy going out there every single game and getting a 2-for-5 night in mm-hmm. week in and week out for those type of games that you can latch on to and be like, okay, what's working?
That's
the key. It's been one guy here, one guy there, and you don't know which guy that's going to be on any given night.
Yeah, who's the guy that's getting in the face of the other guys that are not doing what they should be doing? Who's the leader in the clubhouse? Not to use a horse term, but
sure.
who is the clubhouse guy? Who's the guy? Who's running the clubhouse? Is it a big vocal leader? Is there a guy standing up in the middle and said, hey, you blankety blankers, we're going to get out here and we're going to do this. And if you don't do it, you're going to have to deal with me because I'm the leader of this team. And is there a guy in the clubhouse that's doing that, or is it just too quiet a faction in there that no one is looking? Everyone's kind of looking around. Well, who's that guy? And this is a very young team. Think how young this team is.
Kevin Bazell, third year player.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Parker, third year player, but first year at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Cade McGee, third year player, first year at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Cash, third-year player, second year at Tech. I would put him in the conversation of possible leaders with regards to the credibility that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just being a second-year at Tech kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That he's got, when he talks, people listen, if I were,
yeah.
that of knowing how to Red Raider baseball plays. Isaiah Rhodes, fifth-year player, first year at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Green, fourth-year player, second year at Tech. Owen Washburn is the first person that I've mentioned here that has more than 1 year on campus, and this is his third year.
Yep, but he's not an everyday player anymore.
Going in numerical order down the roster, number 25
mm-hmm.
in your scorebook.
But the problem that Owen has—
The point that I'm bringing up is everybody beforehand
yeah.
has either been on campus for 1 year or yeah. has only been They may have played college baseball for more than 1 year.
But it's hard to walk in and be that guy, you know, and I'm not going to say this is a transfer portal issue because, I mean, it's easy to just say, it's a transfer portal deal.
It's young.
It's mostly a young roster of guys looking around and, you know, who's the guy that says, hey, I've been here, I'm the fourth year, I'm the senior, I'm the guy that's going to tell you how we do things around here at Texas Tech.
Josh Sanders might be the guy who's been here the longest.
Is he a vocal enough guy to do that?
And that's a great question.
Is he a vocal enough guy to do that, or is he a lead by example?
Bridges?
Derek Bridges is a guy, but Derek Bridges is so situational now. He's like last night, he comes in and gets one out.
Kyle Robinson and...
Kyle Robinson is a guy who I would probably put on that list to be that guy. Son of a military man. Friday night ace. Possibly. I would probably say the guy that needs to be that guy. I'm looking at you, 42. Maybe let's go.
That'll do it for Chris. He's got to go clean out a garage.
I am going to clean out the garage.
I envy you because you have a garage to clean out.
Yeah.
I don't even have one to clean out. I have to clean out yours. Bottom line, Josh on his way next.
Starts at 1 o'clock, bro.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for choice, sitting alongside Josh Falpelman, Ben Poorman across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us, taking care of us as he does on the program. Recognize that?
I do.
Yeah, just checking. You want to tell everybody what it is?
That is my song Ashes that I released in October.
Tell it again.
It is my song.
My Ashes. Song Ashes. That's Josh Falpel singing. Yeah, that's what the point. Never mind.
Yes. I don't put these on, by the way.
So no, you were not in charge, but celebrate some wins around here. Check that out wherever your checking out process is.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That being said, something we have checked out from time to time is the NCAA tournament. Last night, games played. Big upset last night that has gotten some people in this building a little upset today, Josh. I'm here to tell you.
Actually upset or just upset because their bracket is pretty much done?
Upset because their bracket. Like, you know, it's sports upset.
I know someone had Arizona to full stop win.
Yeah, so they're done.
Yeah.
Sad for them. I mean, not really, but
I don't remember seriously. Who it was, but
Clemson beating Arizona 77-72 moves Clemson to face Alabama.
Mm-hmm. And my West is done, by the way.
Your West is done?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not here to talk about my bracket, but this does kind of measure
about your bracket a little
bit. This does kind of measure specific. My expectation from the beginning.
Sure.
And so yes, these are kind of surprises and stuff, but I think once you got deeper in the tournament, you kind of I don't know. I don't think that these were huge surprises for you know, I guess by the time it got into it.
Sure. Iowa State falling to Illinois 72-69. That's a three seed being a two, while not shocking. We saw Iowa State play some really, really, really good basketball this year. Mm-hmm. So there's a little surprise there from the Big 12 fan. And we're now down to just one Big 12 team in Houston being the lone Big 12 team. They're playing Duke tonight. That's a 1-4, an 8:39 tip-off. I'm guessing that's 8:39 on the East. Has this been adjusted? See, this is the problem when you're looking at times. Because it doesn't, like, make it easy to know if it's already been adjusted for time. I'm looking at a bracket that's got times on it.
Sure.
And it could be 8:39 Eastern or 7:39 Central, or it could be 8:39 Central and it's already been adjusted, but they don't want to tell me which it is.
Yeah, it doesn't have a time zone.
It doesn't have a time zone. And I'm scrolling up and down on this thing looking and trying to see. I guess if let me just go to the actual schedule and see what time that actual game tips off at. NC State Marquette will tip off at 6:09. And then you've got Gonzaga, Purdue tonight, Duke at Houston at 8:39, and then Creighton at Tennessee. Now these are respectively ats. Tennessee being the higher seed. The higher seeds are the quote-unquote home teams in these. At 9 o'clock tip-off tonight. That's very late for me. Just so everybody knows, that's a very late night. If I'm awake at 9 and starting a game. Very, very late night. Very, 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 very late. But thoughts overall on where we sit with this NCAA tournament? Biggest shock, I guess, for you as we sit here before we're basically done with all the shock and awe after this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any huge shocks at this point, but I wouldn't have picked the Arizona upset, at least not to Clemson right then. I mean, obviously they were playing them then, but I wouldn't have picked them to lose to Clemson. I could see them losing to using to North Carolina later on, but I wouldn't have picked them to lose in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest, like, kind of shock, kind of surprise so far, because I think the Midwest had the biggest surprises so far.
I don't know. South has got the big one in NC State, and the Red Raiders got full advantage.
And it was Oakland before that too.
Taken full advantage of in that one, where they have beaten and they beat Tech 80-67, as we all know.
Yeah.
They then get the 14 seed who took out Kentucky 79-73. So say what you will about that game, but now if they make it one more, which is like not out of the realm of possibilities, beating Marquette tonight. That could make a statement for an 11 seed. So we'll see how that game goes. Also, Purdue taking on Gonzaga, Creighton, Tennessee. Elite Eight berths on the line tonight, and Final Four is right around the corner for that.
They beat Oakland, didn't they? Not Kentucky.
Did I completely screw it? They beat Oakland. Oakland beat Kentucky. That NC State beat Oakland.
Yeah. Okay.
They took out the 14 seed who beat Kentucky, is I think what I was trying to
say. I think that's the argument you could make against that, though, is their level of competition. I mean, I don't want to say that against Tech, but then Oakland was the next team that they bit. So if they're not prepared, they could be walking into a buzzsaw with this next matchup.
I am not one to suggest the tournament be reseeded. The tournament falls how the tournament falls.
You mean number of seeds, or what do you mean?
Reseeded.
Reseeded. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
A 14 beat, 14 moves on to the second round. I don't want to reseed it. They earned that win. Sure. They beat somebody who was, in theory, vastly superior to them. They should be rewarded for that. I am not, even now with an 11 seed possibly making it to the Elite Eight, I don't want it reseeded. Sure. I don't want to get into that. It's not that I don't want to get into that conversation. I don't want to hurt these teams that have done everything that they were asked to do. And I realize, and Tech has been on the other side of this, where the run that you made to the Final Four, I'm sorry, your first Elite Eight, you went through the hardest possible teams to go through all the way through.
Sure.
And everybody you played did the exact same thing to get to where you went until you got to that Elite Eight. The flip side of that is there was a team that was the year the 16 beat a 1. I didn't want the 16 seed to be punished after they were already the 16 seed.
Sure.
I know why you'd want it reseeded, because it makes it more fair.
I wouldn't want it reseeded.
Like, the argument. No,
I get it.
I get the argument.
I kind of don't, I guess.
Because the one, it's not fair that the 2 has to play a 3 when the 7 seed is playing an 11 seed later. I didn't even know that works out, but you get what I'm talking about. That it's not their fault that they beat the people around them.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault that nobody around you did that as well. It's not a punishment, that's the bracket. I understand why you want it reseeded. And as the Red Raider that year, I really wish they would have, because your path would have gotten easier. Allegedly.
Sure.
Because teams get underseeded every year. Teams get overseeded every year. And that's why you get upsets. That's how that works. And there's matchup problems that you wouldn't be able to take advantage of with one team that you would with another that may be higher seeded than you, that if you're then playing the lower seed, you don't get to take advantage of.
Said seed so many times.
You, who would have thought that this is a non-farming show and we've said seed quite a lot today? But that's the way the NCAA tournament goes.
It's like when you say words so many times, they stop sounding like real words.
So if you were to pick a game tonight.
Yes. Who's playing tonight? Let me see.
I will tell you the four games tonight. Okay. You have NC State at Marquette, That's the 11 at 2. Get 5, Gonzaga at Purdue for 1. Duke 4, Houston 1. Creighton 3, Tennessee 2. I need one upset tonight.
I don't think the Gonzaga Purdue is going to be much of an upset because I think people have kind of like put question marks next to the Purdue at 1. But also Gonzaga, they might say the same about Gonzaga in that they're post – this is not – they're
it does feel like tournament. They're playing a little bit above their heads right now.
Sure. So I don't know that I would label that an upset, or at least in a lot of people's minds. I could see a world where NC State beats Marquette. I'd pick Duke Houston, I think, is my pick.
See? I don't know that I could disagree with you more there. I've got Creighton, Tennessee, and I know it's a 3-2, so it's not really an upset.
That's kind of...
But I would be shocked to see Duke beat Houston. I really do feel like Houston is just on a path of destruction, and it doesn't matter who they run into, they're going to go through them until they get to the championship game. Mm-hmm. And I really do feel like we're on a direct path to UConn versus Houston. Like, that's just where the lines are going, and it's two one-way juggernauts going toward each other, and nothing is going to get in their way. But watch that. NC State's going to win tonight and go win the national championship, and we'll be like, hey, at least we lost to the champs. So there's that.
I don't know if that makes it better. But.
It doesn't. It doesn't make it better. Losing the first round doesn't make it better. It is the bottom line. 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.